So, coming up next, we are going to have a substitute Bathrop Spears broadsides, kind of a token show, because I am not feeling well, and I can't really get together a complete show at this particular point. My voice won't do it. But this is kind of an introduction to the flashback that you're going to be hearing, and also just a couple of notes. The Benchlands resistance continues. I don't know how extensive or how well organized it's actually going to be. I'm always rather gloomy about that, but I can be surprised, and hopefully you will too when you, if you do, show up on Monday the 19th, which is coming up tomorrow if you're listening to this show on September 18th, 2022, which is when it's going to be originally netcast. This, of course, is the second demolition of a segment of the Benchlands, forcing people to scatter, hide, take their part of their possessions, those they can carry, and move into deeper into the camp or go elsewhere, maybe hide in the Poganip or somewhere else, although I've seen police vehicles and Parks and Rec vehicles, police officers of some kind, in approaching, well, as I drive down Highway 9, I saw that a couple of days ago. So it looks like the old practice of whack-a-homeless or whack-a-mole is back in business, and that's the go-to position, I'm afraid, of the current shitty council, the current shitty manager, the shitty mangler, as I call him, Matt Huffaker. They haven't yet tried to actually use the CSSO, the Camping Standards and Services Ordinance, per se, but they don't need to. They can use trespass, they can use blocking the sidewalk, they can just intimidate and terrorize people by threatening to take their stuff. And unless people decide they're going to stand up and get some support in doing so, that has been effective in the past and is likely to continue to be effective. So not a happy camper, or should we say non-camper, and they're not going to be happy campers, I'm afraid. But as I said, at noon on Monday, tomorrow on the 19th, is the deadline for the phase two get out or get bulldozed. And then they're going to be going into phase three. Again, on the phony claim that they have lodging. They actually found lodging for only two people in phase one, though they advised, I think, 27 people or something. And Sonia Bruner either lied about it or simply misinformed people because she didn't know about it. When I raised that issue at City Council last Tuesday, and said only one person was moved from phase one that I saw, and I gave his name, as it was told me at the time. But and I asked, I said, well, no one in demand of the city mangler what is actually going on. Talk about what spaces are actually available, what spaces are filled up. How can you possibly begin the demolition of this huge community when you don't have spaces for them? You're going to, of course, what they're doing is they're claiming they're doing it in segments so they can pretend they have spaces for the segment they're demolishing and terrify everybody else into going into hiding is possibly what their strategy is. There has been some organizing going on by the Benchlands Resistance. There was a meeting with Anthony Prince last Wednesday or Tuesday. I think it was Wednesday, who talked about people staying together and possibility of an injunction, but that hasn't really been, I don't know if that's actually being followed up, and I don't want to encourage people and give out false hope or ultimately false gloom. I don't want to do that either, so I'm kind of, I don't know, between here and there. I don't know what to do about this. There have been some meetings scheduled over the weekend by organizers at the same spot, which is in the phase two area, right at the bottom of the stairway that you go down when you take the road that goes between the county building and the bocce courts, and it sort of dead ends into the benchlands slope area, and then there's a stairway there. It's the second stairway if you're walking from Water Street toward the duck pond. And that there had been some meetings there. I think there was a meeting on Saturday night. There was a meeting on Friday night. I don't know how well attended because I didn't attend it. I'm hacking and a hewing and not doing too well myself. So that's one of the reasons. But there is some organizing still happening, and there is a call that has been put out for people to come in the morning on the 19th. That's tomorrow. And it's not a bad idea. People will need help moving their stuff. People will need help by people being present with some kind of cameras clicking and eyes on the police and seeing what they're doing. And it's never a bad idea to do that. There is, of course, going to be rain predicted for both Sunday and Monday, so that's an additional problem. But that's kind of what it is. But let's get on to the flashback. I'm going to describe what it is for you. It's September 10th, 1998, and you're going to hear Charlie of the San Jose Food Not Bombed talking about the organization in St. James Park that was feeding people then. I don't know if Food Not Bombed still exists in San Jose, but it did then. Then you hear my co-host, Shaz, the fidget guy. He's a guy who created these little mechanical devices that you can use to play with in your hand when you're nervous. He called them fidgets. And he was keeping an eye on life on the streets, and he had a lot of pungent commentary about his own experiences and things he'd witnessed. You'll be hearing the Jolly Roger Comedy Troupe, which is a satirical theater group of radio theater from Berkeley when Berkeley's Liberation Radio was in flower, or Berkeley Free Radio, I'm not sure what their name was at the time. Shaz will be grilling a guy on his foot crime ticket, how, you know, he and others have gotten tickets for putting their foot up on a bench, just or leaning that way against anything, that police were using this to go after people they didn't want downtown. Skidmark Bob, who is in those days was a musician. Now I think he may still be a Parks and Rec employee. He talks about standing on the sidewalk crime. And then we have a call in from the V-Man, who was a strong part of free radio in the 90s and the early aughts. He had his own show. He was really a strong techie involved with free radio, talking about the Berkeley City Council supporting Berkeley Free Radio, and also about the 1996 Campbell Street eviction, where he and other members of the Free Radio Collective were evicted by police, and they resisted the eviction. They were willing to leave, but they wanted relocation money because they felt that was the fair thing to do, and instead the police used force and fear. Then we get to hear from Lloyd Lawrence, who was harassed in his RV while he was engaging with his catheter in some kind of cancer therapy he was using, and the police pounded on his door and demanded he move. And then there's more accounts of this kind. Pretty specific and pretty powerful. Admittedly, you know, 30 years old now, nearly, or 25 years old. But unfortunately, this is not necessarily come and gone. So I don't, you know, I haven't been getting reports recently of this kind of behavior, but I'm not out on the streets as much as I was, and we don't have a call-in show like we used to, although I put my number out. And I've been focusing on the Benchlands. And the Benchlands has been a place where people can go, a kind of a sanctuary of a kind, which is now being destroyed. So that's the show for today. It's short. I think it lasts about 2.5 hours. If you have questions, comments, if you want to get involved, do go down to the Benchlands today, because people, if you're listening to this on Sunday, will need your help in moving before tomorrow's deadline. And again, there's rumblings of some kind of resistance, but it's always unclear whether the resistance is just a rumble which sort of disappears into the bushes when the actual confrontation comes, or whether it will stand up and be supported by the community, as happened in December of 2020 in the Duck Pond area. And that's about all I've got voice for tonight. Apologies for not being more contemporary and specific in what I've got for you. There, of course, is also a Huff meeting on Thursday, as usual. I'm assuming I'll be in better shape by then, or at least I hope I will. That's going to be at 10:45 at the Sub Rosa Cafe. We have the new Street Spirit, in case you haven't seen it. Not that it has anything about Santa Cruz. I wish it did. If you want to write something for Street Spirit, you can. I've been told by the editor she welcomes those kind of submissions, so give me a call at 423-4833 if you need more specifics about this. And I guess I'm going to have to leave it there. But stay dry, stay warm, try to stay active if you can. Do what I say, not necessarily what I do. So that's it for now. Oh yeah, and then one thing. This show begins actually with an interview with Charlie of the San Jose Food Not Bombs, as I mentioned, and then the actual show starts about 20 or 25 minutes later. So don't be confused, and don't pay any attention to the phone numbers, except of course for the Huff line, which has remained eternal. 831-423-4833, or 423-HUFF. And, hey, maybe I'll see you in the Benchlands.